From the Findlay Toyota Studio, it's Cofield and Company.
He comes back to MetLife and does this.
Call my agent. I want out of here. This is the NBA now.
Hey, change Lonzo's name to Alfonso on the fact that he's been damaged goods for the last 2 years.
And, you know, if you don't like the way the guy's portraying something, you should be able to cut him on the spot, pretty much, I would think.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. Cofield and Company. Weird. We're in studio. We do a lot of shows on the road now during football season. Tomorrow, we're on the road again, Golden Circle Sports Bar inside the TI, but today in the friendly confines of the Findlay Toyota Studios. John Von Tobel is the company today. Ari is here as well. We got a loaded show with great guests. The UNLV talking a little bit with Caleb Herring. Fantasy football talk with Dustin DeHart. Let's do it.
It's time for the three. Presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today at 577-2600.
I don't even know how to describe what it's like to be a Jets fan anymore. Actually, I don't even know how to describe my existence as a football fan slash follower. It's kind of amazing. It really is.
Very bleak.
Right, and it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah,
like, it's like every year. This year, boy, I have to look back, because I'm sure there were hopeless situations in the past. Because I joke all the time. While I sound sour and bitter most of the time on air, I'm actually an optimist when it comes to my teams. Mm-hmm. I'm glass overflowing. I don't give up. But my God.
How can you do it? How can you?
I mean, last night I was just like, all right, give me some shots. So for folks who don't know, I'm a Jets fan. Went to Rutgers. As a follower, I'm also working with the UNLV football team.
Sadness just follows you wherever you go.
It's not me.
Well, you're also a Yankees fan, so like, let's not act
like
it's
McKinnell,
all.
McKinnell will always bring that up. Yeah. That, like, it's not all of your sports fandom that is totally miserable. I do root for a team that, you know, is a top five all-time franchise in terms of winning. But just football, man.
Yeah.
And, I ate a lot last night, too.
You drowned your sorrows in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, were you hanging out with Brett Okamoto last night?
It's
pretty shameful to eat like that in front of a buff guy.
ESPN's Brett Okamoto came by, and if people didn't get the tweet that I sent out, I just took a pic. I didn't know he was a Browns fan, because he's a... All these guys are like, oh, I grew up there. I'm like, wait, I thought you grew up in the Denver area. That's why you're a Rockies fan. But anyway, I wasn't going to get into it with him. But anyway, Brett's one of the most unique guys on social media, because he's a reporter covering MMA, doing TV for ESPN. But he has come up with the brand of he's down with doing his own glamour photos. Like, he's not made up, but he'll send out pictures where he's covering an event, and he's a good-looking guy, but it's like him in different poses and with, like, a coffee in his hand and glasses and his hair done nicely. And last night he shows up. I guess he was playing softball later. He shows up in, like, a cut-off T-shirt. I think he's been lifting a little bit.
Guns are popping.
So, yeah, I got him. First of all, I was like, oh, this is great. I get to actually be the media guy photographer and take one of these pictures. And, yeah, he's sitting there, like, flexed. Flexed as he's watching his Browns just dump all over my Jets. And believe me, hey, his existence as a Browns fan has sucked as much or more than Jets fans. What's that picture from? Press conference?
Yeah, it looks like he's ringside for, don't really know. This is back on September 7th. So
he's doing like that duck face or something. Yeah. I don't think he meant to do that.
I had to respond with a gif of a duck face. But yes, I was like.
He sent out a picture over the weekend. He's like, this is what you do at a wedding when there's a big fight. And it's like him, there was a woman in the picture, and it's just him like sitting all dressed up, but in a chair at the reception, like looking at his phone. Like, none of us can do that. I'm not attractive. But that's his brand now. It's just like hot media guy.
It's pretty good.
And he gets hundreds of likes for these dopey pictures.
Yep.
So I was like, I have to jump in on this. As I said, I had to throw down some shots after the Jets game last night.
Meatballs.
And, man, I woke up this morning, and I was like, what did I eat? Like, I have an iron stomach. It's big, but it's effective. Like, I never feel bad. And I was like, man, I must have crushed a bunch of food, like, eating away my sorrows. Then you send over a picture today, because we often have food items, food talk on the show. And in my mood right now as just beaten and bloodied football fan, of course I'm going to eat this.
Looks good, right?
It looks delicious. I'm not a giant fan of sweets.
Mm. You're like me. Like, dessert is more food.
I like dessert. Like, I'll give you an example. While I like donuts, the Krispy Kreme, free pop for them, that we get around town when Flower posts a shutout, those are a little too sweet for me.
Okay.
And it actually looks like this chicken sandwich you sent over, is this KFC?
Yes.
It sort of looks like that kind of glazed donut.
Yep.
So it wouldn't be my cup of tea, but the way I'm feeling right now, because my plan is with every loss, I don't know, on average, maybe put on 2 pounds. It won't happen that day. So my guess is between the two teams I'm a fan of, yeah, I could be looking at, I don't know, 22, 23 losses. So I probably put on 46 pounds this football
season.
You
should scale it for like every touchdown they lose by.
Is that better than the 23 losses?
Yeah, possibly.
Every touchdown they lose by, that's going to be worse.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, the Jets were feisty last night. But yes,
feisty!
They were like,
there's no points for feisty!
They had...
It's fat over feisty.
They were down 16-3. They had a fourth down and two, which it was weird because the third down and two and then the fourth down and two, you'd expect it to give it to Le'Veon Bell at least one time in that situation. Could have been 16-10. But the sandwich you're talking about, the KFC, the newest addition to the chicken sandwich battle that is going down in the world.
We've talked about Big Chicken, the overlord to control chicken. They're just coming up with new ideas, and they feed each of the chicken joints. And we've got some... like crazy trending chicken sandwich every week.
Chicken and donuts is what it's
chicken
called.
Chicken and donuts from KFC.
Crispy chicken breast in between two glazed donuts.
All right.
And all you got to do is go down to Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, they're only testing it in a couple markets, right?
Yep, Richmond and I believe Pittsburgh, yep.
Well, you remember it was delicious, but the least functional sandwich that's ever been made was by KFC. Remember the Double Down?
Yes.
It was just a piping hot chicken breast that you were supposed to eat with your hands and you just... like, you'd have to have hot mitts on.
There's no shot.
Just scalding grease all over your head. But the thing is, you'd eat it because it was delicious.
Yep.
And you're like, it's worth the pain.
I would go fork.
Would you?
I was classy. I would go with the fork.
I'm an animal.
You know, like, but you know, you're right, because obviously there's the stuff in the middle. You want to take it all in one bite.
Yes, yes. And here's the thing about that Double Down. I mean, I tried to eat it a couple times while driving. it was unbelievable. No, I'm like, there's going to be grease all over me. You know, at that point, because it's so hot, you got to rotate the hands.
Yep. But like, then there's grease all over your wheel.
I'm driving with my legs. Very safe.
Oh, no.
But you're right. You're right, lawmakers. Cell phones are the most dangerous thing.
Yeah.
They're dangerous. But eating a Double Down in the car while driving, not good.
That's a deeper topic, because I've always thought, like, while I'm eating on my way to wherever, if I'm doing it, I'm like, I could totally destroy somebody right now. Like, if
it's
I got to put hot sauce on something while I'm eating or doing, like...
Dude, I had Tupperware in my car today because I was like, I don't think I'm going to get the stop to eat. So I took like some lunch meat in the car and I had mustard in the Tupperware. I'm dipping.
I've always thought it would be super embarrassing to get in a car accident like that. And then like food gets all over the place or something. And then, you know, the cops walk up and they find like in your case, mustard and deli meats all over the place. And they're like, okay, we know what you've been doing. This is ridiculous.
So all I can do is laugh after the beginning of the football season. Last night was ridiculous. Come on. No Sam Darnold because he's got a disease that 14-year-olds have.
Mm-hmm.
Then Trevor Siemian, who I would say optimistically coming into the season, like a top 6 or 7 backup quarterback in the league, because there's a lot of bad ones. And we're gonna talk about the people who are getting to play now. Then he goes down. Then we find out this morning, Siemian, he's out. That's it. Ankle, done for the season.
That's what happens when your ankle snaps in half, I think.
And now it's Luke Falk.
Put up some good numbers at Washington State.
I actually have hope for him.
Yeah.
But we got to see more.
Of course. Like I said, look, we'll get into the Browns part of it too, but there was a chance for them to get within 6, and who knows what happens after that. But they go for it on 4th and 2. in the shadow of the goalposts of the Browns. They don't get it and then give up the big play the next time around, which who knows what Greg Williams is doing with the safety 30 million yards down the field, and he still can't make the tackle on OBJ. But I actually thought you could be relatively positive coming out of that considering you were in it. And a couple of big plays and that fourth down are really what swung it in the other direction.
So is it more, hey, build on some positives for the Jets defense, or maybe the Browns aren't that good?
I think it's both, right? Because what's it called? Quinnen Williams wasn't playing. Same with Mosley as well. So, like, two of your better defenders weren't even on the field. And I'm with you. Like, so going into before kickoff last night and looking ahead to next week, I was looking at Cleveland catching points at home against Los Angeles. You know, key number three could be an attractive spot. Los Angeles having to go into that kind of environment. But then you watch Cleveland last night and you think, this should be 35-6 right now. And they just could not get away from the New York Jets and their defense with down two of their better defenders. So I think you go away with both. I think you go away with the Jets defense is going to keep them in some games against opponents that are a little bit closer to them. And I think the other is this Cleveland team has a long way to go. And they were really overvalued coming into this season. And that's what happens when you have a second-year quarterback and a first-year head coach and all the other dynamics that are around this team. And I'm with you. Like, I was actually really underwhelmed by Cleveland yesterday.
With the division, Ravens are good.
Yep.
But with the Steelers situation now, with Big Ben down for the season, with the Bengals, I don't know what's going to happen with the Bengals, with this schedule, Browns better compete for the division title and absolutely have got to win 9 or 10 games. And based on last night, I'm not super confident that they're going to be a 10-win team. We'll continue on the Browns. We'll also get to the Jets' fortunes because you got to see this Jets schedule coming up now with Luke Falk. We'll talk about the point spreads out of control, completely nuts, and also the broadcast last night. There was, as always on Monday Night Football, we're hypersensitive. We hyperanalyze Monday Night Football. There were some weird graphics and bizarro analysis.
The Three is brought to you by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call today at 577-2600 to receive a $500 coupon towards your appraisal or any purchase or refinance. Dial up Dustin now. 577-2600.
Baker, this week, New York's defensive coordinator suggested that Odell is not a dynamic playmaker. Do you feel like he showed otherwise tonight?
He said that? Jesus. That's next question. Not a dynamic football player.
Second and 12. Mayfield lost all of it. What an effort by OBJ. One-handed. Welcome back.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota Studio.
Yeah, you hear post-game with Baker Mayfield. Is he playing stupid? I guess maybe he's not that looped in on news of the week. Well, the lead-up to week two, Greg Williams made an ass of himself, set himself up by basically saying, hey, Odell Beckham, is he a great player?
Not that dynamic of a playmaker, I think is what he said, yeah.
And then last night you hear the one-handed catch for a touchdown, and then obviously he had the freaking 90-yard, 89-yard run. So he was pretty dynamic, Greg.
Yep, which, by the way, again, as we mentioned, you had a safety 30 yards back to the point where he wasn't even on the screen for about another 10 yards. Who still couldn't make the play on him? On an 89-yard catch and run?
So if you got a readjusted number on the Browns, I didn't even see what CGT posted. Did they change? Because I know they moved the Dolphins back to 3.5 from 4.5. We'll look up the number. But if you got readjusted, because it should be adjusted a little bit, right? Because the Steelers, I mean, it's only two games that it affects.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the Steelers have been knocked down from a Super Bowl shot inside of 20-1 to 200-1.
That seems pretty high.
So it does seem high. Yeah. You got to bump up the Browns. So if the Browns over-under is 9.5.
Yeah.
Are you going over?
No.
Me either.
I still don't like it. I don't like this team that much. My goal coming into this season was to an extent, fade the Cleveland Browns, at least when it came to like season-long stuff, betting against them to make the playoffs, betting against them to win the division. I picked the Steelers to win the division. So that's really – well, I won't call them dead just yet. I actually think Mason Rudolph's got a relatively high ceiling. And
I won't either.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do later, because listeners love to do this, but we're going to declare – which teams are officially dead and buried and have no shot at the playoffs. I don't think it's going to be as many as the audience would pick.
Yeah.
Because we've done this in the past. I think you were still doing the show with us. About 5 years ago, a listener got in touch with me, and we made a bet.
I remember that.
Because I think it was after 3 weeks, and he had eliminated, like, 12 teams. And I'm like, all right, I'm in. One of those 12 have to make it? Yeah, they were all, like, 0-3, 1-2 teams. And I got two teams in out of the 12.
Yep.
Two teams came back, and I never got paid.
No, of course.
Second time it's happened with a listener.
Yep.
But, oh, well. I was told over the summer, Kevin Durant is in no way considering any other team. He's not leaving the Warriors. I'm like, I'll take that bet.
Who's really?
Yeah, listener.
Come
on Facebook.
Writing was on the wall the whole time. Pretty good.
Yep.
Last year I got, there was a listener for VSiN who gave me 100-1 odds after the Colts started 1-5 to win the division.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure, I'll put $50 on that. And then, you know, he's talking smack after the 1-5 start. And then sure enough, they win 9 out of 10 and he's sweating it out on Sunday. You know, at the end of the the end of the season. Second the game's over and they're officially eliminated. Told you. Like, yes. The point is that you shouldn't have given me 100-1 odds.
I had one last night with Tony Miller, our buddy down at the Golden Nugget.
Well, I saw his tweet.
Yeah, he was all fired up to tweet that out, and I was like, yeah, I'll take it. Like, I'm the only one. I'm reacting pretty strongly to the Dolphins start, but I do not believe they're going 0-16.
Yeah.
They're going to win some games. Teams are not going to be focused. There could be injuries on other teams.
Look what just happened to the Jets. They play them twice.
Yep. The Jets, that could be when Darnold comes back. He might not be back by then, and it's at the Dolphins. I mean, I think it'll be, you know, 75% Jet fans in the crowd, you know, the crowd of 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, our bet was that they won't win two games, the Dolphins. And I win on two.
Oh, that's
so basically, it's over under 1.5 wins. And he was giving me 3-1. Like, okay, I'll take it.
They also have the Redskins on their schedule, too, which is going to be a winnable game.
It's a long season, my friends.
Yep.
Long season. So you won't go over on the Browns. You're not bullish yet, even though the division has taken a big hit with one of the co-favorites, sort of favorites, and the Steelers getting knocked down more than a few pegs. What happens to the Jets the next 5 weeks? Are they 0-7? Are they definitely 0-6? Ready for the schedule for the Jets? No Darnold, at Patriots, at Eagles, home Cowboys, home Patriots, at Jaguars.
Jaguars is, I think, a winnable spot.
At Patriots, at Eagles, Cowboys, Patriots at home, at Jaguars. And if you throw in the Dolphins game, that means four of the next six are on the road, maybe all with something calling itself Luke Falk.
Yeah, that is the one positive that the Jets can look forward to. Like, I know that Darnold was back at the facility today, which is obviously a good sign. Doesn't have to be quarantined. Yeah.
I mean, he's going to come back.
He's going to. So that's good, right? It's not like these other teams that we're talking about. But yes, if you don't have Darnold over that stretch, it's going to be relatively tough. Although I will say, I really like that defense. Like, the first 2 weeks, those have been pretty good performances from that Jets defense, despite the collapse in week one, mainly due to the fact that you had a quarterback who probably was already suffering from mono and an offense couldn't do anything.
Right.
So their defense is going to keep them in a couple of these games. But it looks like at this point, if it's Luke Falk, week 8 is going to be your best shot for win number one.
Now, here's the wacky thing around the NFL. While people are laughing at the Jets, and this is pretty insane, you're down to your third stringer. It ain't much better in other situations.
It's amazing.
Cam Newton, is he playing this week?
Yeah, this came out of nowhere. So apparently he has aggravated his foot injury that he suffered in the preseason. And now, all of a sudden, the kid Kyle Allen, who started the finale last year and actually led them to a win that snapped their, what was it, a 7-game losing streak, if I remember correctly, could maybe start this weekend. So if he starts this weekend, we're going to get Kyle Allen, Gardner Minshew. We just saw Luke Falk, and we're going to get him again. Mason Rudolph, Teddy Bridgewater, and Daniel Jones as starting quarterbacks this weekend in the National Football League.
Week 3.
Yep.
Read the names again.
Teddy Bridgewater, Mason Rudolph, Luke Falk, Gardner Minshew, Daniel Jones, and possibly Kyle Allen.
I mean, you're talking about four of the six were basically like undrafted dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Daniel Jones is a first-round pick, but most people thought, hey, he really should be a second or third-round pick. Kyle Allen?
Yep.
Really? Minshew? And I remember Leach around the time of the draft. By the way, we're going to hear from Mike Leach on multiple occasions today, the crazy coach with Wazoo. He was getting all pissed off at scouts asking stupid questions about Minshew in terms of size. And now the guy's in the NFL as a 6th-round pick. Starting.
Yep.
For a team that actually had hopes of, you know, maybe getting back to 8, 9, 10 wins.
And keep in mind, they convert a 2-point, you know, conversion. Guess what? They probably win that game on Sunday. I actually like Gardner Minshew. In the two games that we have seen him, he has looked relatively good. He is a high completion, low risk type of guy. And here's the other thing. In the last two drives, he had completions of 29, 31 yards, and a 25 yarder that was called back for offensive pass interference. So as far as backup quarterbacks go, Gardner Minshew, I think, is a really solid option.
It's time to hit What's Trending, brought to you by Born and Raised Sports Bar and Tavern in Las Vegas and Henderson.
Here's what's trending locally. Las Vegas Aces opened their best of five series against the Mystics today, 5:30. You can watch it on ESPN2. Mystics, 8-point favorites. Money line on the Aces is plus 330. UNLV announces basketball showcase set for October 5th at Sam Boyd Stadium. That's right, outside. The men and women for a second season. We'll proceed a Rebel football game. That is game day for the Rebels against Boise State. Runner Rebel season opens in 38 days with an exhibition game against West Coast Baptist College at the Thomas and Mack.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
We're going to talk more about Cam Newton. Because that one, if he doesn't play this weekend, and if he's a guy who goes down for much of the season, that one really annoys me. Because that's something I started talking about when he got shut down last year, and the Panthers have completely blown it. Again, if Cam Newton is going to miss significant time, this time not because of the shoulder, which is not 100%, but a foot injury, not having a capable backup is a freaking travesty. So news of the day last night. This is how bad the Jets-Browns game was. You notice this in, like, FBS, FCS college football matchups when it just turns dreadful. Thursday night football, which is usually just a terrible schedule, happens on Monday night football from time to time. You'll see the announcers just start doing sports talk.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, this game sucks. So we just got to fill. We're just going to hit some football topics. And fourth quarter, all of a sudden they put up a graphic, and they're like, Minkah Fitzpatrick on the move to the Steelers. We'll grade that trade in just a little bit. But Steve Young spoke about player movement. Now, did Steve Young make this comment before Minkah got traded?
This was responding to Jalen Ramsey demanding a trade. So I'm not sure exactly the timeline of if Fitzpatrick had moved already, he had.
I'm guessing it was pre.
Okay.
And so he hadn't even heard it. Let's just assume he hadn't even heard about this deal yet with Minkah Fitzpatrick. So, again, a player wins out, gets his wish. Antonio Brown's the most obnoxious example. Player wins out, gets his wish. You would think old players would be like, you know what? Good for them. I'm a little bit jealous, but man, I wish I had that kind of power when I played. I am pro player, but what happens so often with old guys who played the sport?
They fail to remember what it was like for them, and for some reason they go anti-player, even though they're one of them.
He started going nuts over this new player power, and they're very isolated examples, but Steve Young just went unhinged.
It is now the NBA. I think, obviously, Antonio Brown proved it. He's ended up in the Patriots. Just act that way, and you end up in the Patriots. And look what the Dolphins did. Lose a game, the first game, like, call my agent. I want out of here. This is the NBA now, and front office in the NFL are going to have to deal the fact that if you lose a couple games or get into all sideline altercation, that guy's going to demand a trade. He's a big name. What are you going to do about it?
All right, take a breath. I mean, I guess if you're going to be a hot take guy on TV, like, exploding on the front end with very little evidence is something you do. Like, there aren't a lot of examples of it happening. Like, to me, the Antonio Brown thing is such an outlier. Why is he flipping out?
I have no idea. And you and I kind of talked about this over the weekend on the pregame or the pre-NFL show on Sunday. And I think all of these situations are unique. Minkah Fitzpatrick doesn't want to be a team that is purposely losing. I can understand that. It's not just losing a couple games, as he puts it. It's a team that is actively trying to lose, has jettisoned talent already multiple times in terms of draft capital, and now you're sitting around going, I am working my hardest, you are losing on purpose, I don't want to be part of this. And then Jalen Ramsey, like, I love how he brushes under the rug, oh, sideline altercation? Oh, I want out of here. His coach went at him. His coach's assistants broke it up, and his head coach, Jalen Ramsey, decided to come back and instigate it yet again. That is a situation to which you should probably want out of.
So the incident was not player-driven.
No.
Hey, that player's a bad guy.
Yep.
But for Steve Young, I'm sure he looks at Jalen Ramsey as a guy who's been mouthy.
Yeah.
So he's like, now he's wielding power? This isn't healthy for the league. It strikes me as just bizarre that old players hate on current-day players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Here's more Steve Young.
And I think at this point, it seems like they're capitulating to it. They didn't put on a hard line. There's no one going to be traded. They're gonna have to come together as a league and say, we're not going to do this because it'll be insane. Every guy that's on a bad team's like, get me out of here. Give me the Patriots. Give me the Chiefs.
Okay. Mm. There's something really dangerous in the middle of what he said.
Owners colluding?
Yes. They're going to have to come together. Hey, Steve, here's a novel thought. They've already done it!
Yep.
I don't want to hear from anyone who is still sticking with Colin Kaepernick could not play in this league. They've come together and they've blocked him from playing. Look at the crap. And sorry, that's disrespectful to professional athletes. But like for my team, as a Jets fan, you're not going to bring Colin Kaepernick into this mix?
Yeah.
Seriously? So the league has already done it. We don't want collusion. Fans don't want that. Stop. And then here's the great thing about old players going after new players. And to me, one of the prime examples, because they love to revise history, they love to either forget their own history or simply ignore it or, again, revise it. Charles Barkley's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Barkley rips on players today for wanting to join other mega talent players. Chuck, all you did at the end of your career was ring chase.
Yep.
You're a complete hypocrite. You're going to bash on Kevin Durant for joining a super team? You tried to form super teams in multiple spots. And Steve Young does not have a spotless record himself.
No. So for those, and you know, I am not old, so I had to go back and just reaffirm what was happening at the time, because I knew that he had played for the Bucs and that he had gotten traded to the San Francisco 49ers. I was like, let's look at the details of Steve Young's trade here.
This makes me so proud. The youth of America
doing research
and going back and finding out about olden times when Steve Young played.
And
Buccaneers, who knew that?
And I'm not sure how many people, I don't know, I didn't know how big this was back then, if they knew that he was actually set to get traded to then the St. Louis Cardinals, who are coming off of, if I remember correctly, a 4-win season. And what does he do? He calls up his owner and says, essentially, what's going on? Owner then says, we'll negate the trade. You and your agent go find a better team. And he gets a better team in the San Francisco 49ers. And the rest is history. You did this exact same thing. And yet here we are, all these years later, and you're like, how dare these guys? And I will make the argument, what you did is worse, because they had a trade in place.
Yep.
And you went and complained about it. So I'm sorry, but screw you. You're a hypocrite, 100%.
It's amazing.
Like the lack of self-awareness, like, did you forget this? Like, there's quotes in everything. The quote, Young remember, Perkins saying, his head coach at the time, just want to let you know, you've been traded to the St. Louis Cardinals. Good luck. And he calls his owner and gets it canceled. Come on, man.
Players have too much power. The league is losing control. But not in my case.
Yeah. No. That was different. That was different.
It was isolated.
Yeah.
So were these cases.
Of course.
Hypocrisy.
Yep.
Or as our buddy the sports pig used to say, righteous indignation from someone completely and totally in the wrong.
And I wish sometime, and maybe obviously it's like they don't remember it on the spot, but I would love like one of his co-hosts to go, Steve, you canceled a trade to the Cardinals. Like, on the spot, when he's flipping out like this and go, Steve, you negated the trade to the Cardinals and you went to the 49ers, a team that were set up for success, had a Hall of Fame quarterback, and you just carried that on. Like, you stopped yourself from going to a bad team to go to a good team. Why was that okay for you?
It's different.
Yeah, like,
what would he say?
Can you imagine? Yeah, like, what his response would be? He would be a stumbling mess. He would have nothing.
Oh, God. We need Steve Smith on all these pregame shows to just challenge people, and then if Steve Young got all froggy, just say, I'm going to kick your ass right here, like he did last year. Was that last year with Michael Irvin?
Last year or the year before when he was making fun, everyone was making fun of his pants?
Yep.
He was just like, I'm going to kick your ass.
He flipped out. And Michael Irvin, who is just, he's a huge guy, completely yoked. I mean, Steve Smith's a badass.
Yeah. Oh, so Steve Smith Irvin shrunk up a little bit, I think, in that moment. He was like, eh,
oh, he did.
I was just kidding.
No, he didn't. It wasn't like he hulked up or took his jacket off, and he's like, oh, is that right? Let's go. No, Steve Smith backed him down real quick. Come on. Who else was up there yesterday? Was it Lou Riddick?
Yeah.
Lou will talk tough mm-hmm. on social media sometimes. Come on, Lou. Bring it.
Well, I'm sure they don't remember. I think that's probably part of it.
Good research, my friend.
That's right. Was that common knowledge that he had forced his way out of a trade from the Cardinals?
I did not remember that. And listen, it was so long ago.
Yeah, of course.
Everything's different now too. Like when anyone does something that you can debate over, people take, you know, different sides, and it just, you know, it can explode for like 3 days. And I don't think we forget stuff as, you know, the recent stuff as much as we used to. Mm. Sports Talk Radio has changed everything, and social media now is taking it to another level. It's
there's
crazy.
Receipts on everything now with social media.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Steve Young.
Those are cool uniforms, too. I don't know why you wanted out.
Fantasy football advice. Trust us. Dustin DeHart is in studio. It's amazing. We're 3 weeks in, and I'm sure there are many rosters out there where you are scrambling right now for good pickups.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
In stride, OBJ. He comes back to MetLife and does this. How about it? Odell Beckham Jr. 89-yard touchdown.
It's time to Trust Us. Presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today at 577-2600.
Trust us, Dustin DeHart in studio, fantasy football going into week 3. JVT is here as well. It's Cofield. So first of all, let's go around the room. How are we doing? We're giving out fantasy football advice. How are we doing? I'm only in one league.
Yeah, I'm in 3, and I literally sent an email today that said I shouldn't be on the show today because my team sucks so bad.
Really?
Worst year I've had in like 5-6 years.
Why?
By far. I don't. You look at my main league I'm in. I'm 0-2, but I've played the top scoring team each week, and I'm not worried about it. It's a good team. Right. My auction league, it's 14 man. Rest in peace, that team's done. And there's a league I don't really care about too much. I'm 2-0 in that one. I'm pretty sure I'll win that one.
Yeah,
but, but yeah, here we go.
What about you?
So I'm in 3, but one of them's in college fantasy league.
Okay.
But the two, there's one NFL league that I've punted on at this point. I've scored less than 110 points like in each one. I've just had terrible luck. The other one that I am into is a money league, and it's a 2-quarterback league, which is the first time I've been playing it. So I'm 1-1, absolutely decimated somebody last week, and I forgot to take Sterling Shepard out of my lineup. So, like, I actually have a pretty good team. My issues all come at quarterback because Jameis Winston and Josh Allen aren't really that great.
So save that because we're going to get to 2-quarterback leagues, something we haven't talked about. Yeah. So we got a problem, and I'm only doing one league. I'm in it with Adam Hill. He's the rules czar. He's a lunatic. We tied. Okay. We looked at the standings today. I won. We tied, but I got the W. So there's some tiebreaker we don't know about.
I
don't know. I texted the commissioner.
Is he freaking out?
Well, he just sent over. You won that? ? I'm like, here we go. Because he'll flip out.
There wasn't any score adjustment. Like, I've lost on a couple score adjustments.
I know. That's why I said to him. I was like, okay, something's gonna happen with some yardage here. One of us is gonna lose a point or two. Nothing. Still tied.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even on yard. So it goes down to decimals on that one? Or
no, it doesn't.
That's why.
Yep.
Yeah.
So no tiebreaker, or at least obvious tiebreaker. So
we've changed
out
that because, yeah, tires are a pain in
the have a weird scoring system. It's a really weird scoring system. So
how many people in your league? Sorry.
12.
So how are you guys going to operate with 11 after Adam quits?
He won't quit. He'll just piss and moan the rest of the season. And he'll fall short of the playoffs by one game.
Yeah. And it'll go back to it.
I mean, it should go by points. Do you have more points than Adam?
No. We're tied. Oh,
like season.
Total?
Yeah.
I probably do.
That's why. That should be the tiebreaker.
Okay. Well, I'll find out.
Yeah.
All right, John. So this two quarterback league thing, this is really interesting because, again, I will mention Adam Hill, who's a psycho. He's in 25 leagues. I know what he would do. Week to week, he would try to hoard as many quarterbacks as possible so that you can't get a second quarterback.
Oh, that's what people are doing. Yeah. So there's one team in my league that's got four quarterbacks. And actually, if I remember correctly, they also have Nick Foles on IR. So there's like five quarterbacks on this roster. Everybody else seems to have at least three quarterbacks on it. So I tried to get too cute, and I just rolled with two guys, Josh Allen and Jameis Winston. And, you know, both actually had pretty decent games this week. So I'm not sure what to do with the position. Now, obviously, like right now, actually, it's terrible to say because there's a lot of guys dealing with injuries, but I got lucky with all these quarterback injuries because now there's going to be multiple options for me. But I think the first option that comes to mind is probably Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. And to grab him, considering he is going to be the starting quarterback, it looks like from here on out, they're going to get in a lot of shootouts because their defense isn't good.
Yep.
So I actually think Daniel Jones has some fantasy upside, right?
Yeah, I agree. I actually was listening to a radio show this morning on Sirius, Pro Football Focus, and the guy that runs that, I think it's Jeff Ratcliffe, and he said he's in a bunch of two quarterback leagues, and he's got him on his bench just waiting for this. So good move. There you go.
Now, I do have one exotic idea.
Taysom Hill.
Yep. Yeah, adding exactly. Taysom Hill. Yeah. I really think that that's a really good option because obviously with Teddy Bridgewater, look, he looked lackluster. It's tough to go in a game like that. We'll see what happens from here on out. Yeah. But Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill, and this just gives him an excuse to use him even more. And I think that's actually worth it. If you have like an extra bench spot or something like that, or if you're in a two quarterback league like I am, I mean, what are you going to do? Add Luke Falk or Taysom Hill?
Yeah.
And I think it's Taysom Hill.
Yeah. Yeah. I expectations can't be too high for him. I think Bridgewater's the highest paid second or backup quarterback in the league.
Yeah, he's making $7.5 million.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously he's going to be the starting quarterback. But yeah, I agree. In a two quarterback league, that's somebody to add for sure.
Let's talk running backs. Dustin DeHart's in studio, Nova Home Loans. Trust us on fantasy football. We win. We can be trusted. Let's talk running backs.
Mm. Yeah.
How are we feeling right now about Le'Veon Bell on a really bad team with no quarterback? And, man, I was buyer beware on James Conner. I thought there was going to be a regression this year, and it ain't been good so far.
Yeah. So I would think that with Le'Veon Bell, the touches are going to be there. The only issue is that he is going to be the focal point of the offense. And how effective is he going to be with every single defense focusing on him? Like a guy like Christian McCaffrey has done well, but there's more weapons, and you have Cam Newton to kind of take away some of the pressure. With a guy like Le'Veon Bell, where it's Luke Falk and maybe Robbie Anderson, I'm not sure how much you can get out of him.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell in a PPR league, because, you know, he's going to be captain check down. I mean, I'm sure he's going to get a lot more receptions, right? So, I mean, and he didn't look bad to me. I mean, yeah, James Conner, I was not on it at all. So I'm concerned about him for sure. Le'Veon Bell, not so much. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're going to load the box, and it's going to be tough for him. But, I mean, he's a stud, so I'm not too concerned about him. And I think he's going to pick up a lot more receptions.
Yeah. Try to hash out some position situations with certain teams. Seattle, Seahawks, wide receiver. I took a flyer on DK Metcalf.
Yep.
I didn't like him in the draft. I was like, this guy's way too muscled up. But I'm like, yeah, you know what? He's available. I didn't expect this.
Yeah, he's awesome. He actually leads Seattle in wide receivers and targets. So he's been targeted more than a guy like Lockett. And now, granted, I think Lockett only had like two targets because they were shutting him down in the Cincinnati game.
Yeah, but he scores touchdowns.
Well, of course, right? on the one reception. I thought Metcalf had a high ceiling, and the fact that he's getting more targets through 2 weeks, I love him. Yeah. And I took a flyer on him as well. He went undrafted, so he was my first pickup and just stashed him on the bench. But then, you know, due to some complications the first week, I was like, let's start him. And he's been great, and I've started him 2 weeks thus far, and I think he's like, if he's a free agent in your league, you got to go get him.
Absolutely. You know, I actually drafted him and Lockett in what my main league, and I'll tell you, I'm still starting Lockett this week, but if he steps up and shines again, I mean, next week I really have to look at him.
You might not be there.
Yeah. Well, I have him.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. He's on my bench.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Broncos running back situation.
Yeah,
what's the deal?
So this was interesting. I was doing some reading. This is from ESPN. So Royce Freeman, in terms of like PPR leagues and whatnot, he ran 21 routes last week against Chicago, posted 7 targets, 5 receptions, 48 yards, compared to 7 targets, 4 receptions for 30 yards from Lindsay on 23 routes. That was flipped in week one. Right. So Lindsay actually led in routes, targets, and yardage. I have no idea what to do with this kind of a situation because both are really effective. They're both really good runners. They split time like – They're both untouchable for me. Like, I have no idea what to do with this.
My sentiments exactly. I didn't want anything to do with these two in the draft. And, like, if one of these guys don't go down, I don't know how you have any confidence putting anyone in your lineup right now, for sure.
Now, like, a situation like Chicago, because so I was big on Montgomery coming out into the season. And week one, it was disappointing. He had the least snaps among running backs. And he was still, like, relatively effective in a small sample size. He had the most snaps among his position here in week two against the Broncos. So I think that was a situation where you were feeling confident, like, this will even out, essentially. And it did. And it looks like it's going to be like that from here on out. But these two, no idea.
Yeah. The Mike Davis situation, that was puzzling to me. But, yeah, it looks like he's – I mean, you traded up to draft him for a reason. He's definitely the most talented back on the team. So I think moving forward, he's somebody you can start with confidence for sure.
What do you think of your Colts from a weapon standpoint? Well, first of all, is Brissett going to throw for, 175 every week? And who are his weapons?
So he might throw for 175 or 200 yards every week, but he'll have 2 to 3 touchdowns every single week, it seems like, is what he's done up to this point.
That'd be nice.
So, yeah, that would be great. Who cares about yards if you're scoring points? But at this point, it's just been T.Y. Hilton, and that's really it. Like, fantasy-wise, there's been nothing really. There's three Colts I think you want to have.
Is Paris Campbell?
Paris Campbell hasn't really been that. Because they've been rationing. Like, they've been, like, Deion Kane, the kid that they drafted last year, towards ACL in training camp, has been coming along pretty strong. But they even out the snaps so much that it's hard to really get who the third, second wide receivers are going to be.
Right.
So the three guys that you want that are Colts are Brissett, T.Y. Hilton, and Marlon Mack.
Right.
Like, that's it. Because they use Marlon Mack a lot in the running game, obviously. He had over, what they have, 200 yards against the Titans and didn't do that well. Or, excuse me, against the Chargers. Didn't do that well against the Titans. But at this point, that's all you want out of these three. Because he seems to really have a good connection with T.Y. Hilton.
Best pickups coming up here in less than 3 minutes. But we want to mention what's going on with Dustin this week. Dustin DeHart is here. Nova Home Loans. Every week, we check in on the mortgage tune-up idea.
Yeah. Yep.
And I know you have a bunch of people calling you now. 577-2600. Explain the concept. And did you work with someone today?
I did, yeah. So look, rates went up a little bit last week. Look, they don't go in a down line forever. So they tick up, they tick down. We're heading back in the right direction. But had a great phone call today. Actually, an ESPN guy, Steve.
Good.
Bought about a year and a half ago, put 5% down. So he has mortgage insurance, right? His house is actually worth a lot more, not a lot more, but enough to where it's 85% loan to value. So what I mean by that is you still need mortgage insurance, but instead of paying that monthly mortgage insurance, what I did for him is I'm buying it out, right? It's a small amount. We wrapped the cost into the loan, and we dropped his rate about 0.75 points. So he's saving $300 a month, and I was able to get an appraisal waiver on him as well. So he didn't even need an appraisal on this. Dude was happy. Yeah, another successful mortgage tune-up. ESPN guy was awesome.
I mean, doesn't hurt to call.
Yeah.
Dustin's he'll run the numbers. Yeah. And like you said a couple weeks ago, might not be anything there either.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Look, if there's no benefit, I'm going to be the first one to tell you. I got better things to do than talking to refinance.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. Believe me.
Nova Home Loans, Dustin DeHart, 577-2600. All right. Rapid fire. Let's go through some pickups. Now, again, we know these players are not available in every league.
Right.
But who have you guys located? I guess you don't want to have anyone else in your league listening right now, right? Who have you located in your league where you're like, all right, I got to nab that person? Taysom Hill, that's really, in a two quarterback league, that's really interesting.
Yeah. DJ Chark was at the top of my list.
Yeah.
But ran with some twos, has some continuity with a guy like Gardner Minshew, has been really effective in two games as well. So I thought Chark was at the top of my list, like, immediately.
Yeah, I actually picked him up a couple weeks ago. There's a ton of rookie wide receivers this year, it seems like, right? Mozart was a guy that's been pretty popular. I actually picked him up last week. Who knows what's going to happen with that? If you're streaming defenses, boy, if Dallas defense is on your waiver wire, probably want to grab them.
They were one of my draft picks, actually.
I lost to a guy that had the Patriots D last week. He scored 48 points. So sometimes defenses put up some serious points.
One more wide receiver, too, just because of the injury situation. Deshaun Jackson's injured. Alshon Jeffrey's injured. Goddard's injured. Nelson Aguilar is like, I looked one spot like, they're owned in like 13% of leagues or something like that. Like, Aguilar is going to be a pretty good pickup.
He's available in the league I'm in. I'm looking at the list. These are deep sleepers. Mm. You know, if Aguilar had to leave the game, their next receiver up would have been Darren Sproles, who's not a receiver.
Yeah.
Is it crazy to think, like, whatever he is, 53 years old, he's not a bad pickup as insurance for down the road?
Yep.
Well, he was picked up this week on my league.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and just the question marks of running back, too. Like, they don't really have a consistent runner. I think Miles Sanders would probably be the number one guy by the time all is said and done, but... For sure. It's ridiculous how old he is.
DeMarcus Robinson?
Yeah.
Available in any leagues?
Is he better than, his name's escaping me. Who's the other receiver?
What, Hardman?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know yet. I mean,
but,
that's the risk you take, I guess.
But Tyreek Hill's going to be down for...
He sure looked good last week.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, hey, again, this is really easy analysis. Picking receivers on teams that don't have good quarterbacks, not a good option. Even if they're a great receiver.
Yeah.
You can get the second, third, or fourth best receiver. If they're playing with Pat Mahomes, you probably got something.
Yeah. Yep. Or picking sometimes I'll go picking a receiver on a bad team or with a bad defense, considering the opportunities are there to, you know, they're going to try to throw out of deficits and things like that. So there might be a lot in terms of targets. But
Can I give you a deep sleeper?
Mm-hmm.
So David Johnson, the wrist, right?
Yeah.
And he missed the whole season. That's acting up again. You know, just reading. Not a big deal.
Edmonds, yeah.
So who is it? Chase Edmonds?
I think so, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not clear who would play.
Yeah.
It really isn't. Because I think Foster's the other guy on the running back. But, I mean, if you're in a league where you have enough roster spots,
like if you're struggling at running back, to throw him on your bench, the last spot, that's something to do.
I mean, that's scary. David Johnson, if he's struggling with something that's been chronic and habitual in the past, that...
He has no fright since he's came back.
No, he hasn't at all. Nope. I mean, that would be years ago. You'd absolutely a top five running back, if not a top three draft pick.
My ear that.
Well, and I'll tell you what. So you brought up the point of like rookie wide receivers. Rookie running backs have been great. Devin Singletary was one guy too that I stashed away, and I've started them both weeks. He's been great. I think it's a hamstring issue he's dealing with. Frank Gore's like on no teams whatsoever.
Here we go. Frank Gore.
It's in the same vein as Darren Sproles, right? Like, he's 100 years
back.
Old, and he's still there, and he could be a pretty good pickup this week.
For 5 years, we've been saying that,
yep.
And he still produces.
Call number one more time, Dustin.
702-577-2600.
There you go. Dustin DeHart, he's in every Tuesday. Make sure to give him a call. He can clean up your mortgage situation, give you hopefully good information about how you can save money, maybe pull money out of the house. The number, 577-2600.
Trust Us is presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call today at 577-2600 to learn how to purchase a home with $20,000 in down payment assistance. Dial up Dustin now, 577-2600.